away we go here on this Getaway Friday, October the 2nd, 2020, first Friday in the month of October. 17 and a half minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio. And it is a very, very, very busy news morning, national news involving COVID-19. Of course, we know this pandemic, which has been going on now for some 6 months plus, has now taken a new turn today. As 6 months plus into this pandemic, we learned early this morning that President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have both tested positive for COVID-19. The ripple effect of this is being felt around the world, and we are now learning this morning from the White House. White House officials are saying that the president is suffering with mild symptoms. Where does this all go? What does this all mean? It's a very big deal. Nobody better to have on this program than the guest we are going to turn to here, and I'm so glad he could join us this morning, because this is very hard information to unpack if you're not in the medical field and don't understand this and the severity of how severe this could possibly be or not be. So let's turn to somebody who knows the answers to these questions. He is a best-selling author. You probably remember him best as the chief medical correspondent on the Today Show, good friend of this program, the absolute best, Dr. Art Uhlein. Dr. Uhlein, what a day we are here.
What a day, Scott. What a day. And it's a day on which I think we can all learn from what's happening. There's been so much confusion and so much shouting back and forth, and I think it's time for us now to use this as a moment for learning. So when I got word from you, I woke up this morning and found a message from you on my computer saying, can you be on at 10 o'clock? And it was already 10:30 Eastern time. And then you said, how about 11:15? I said, sure. And I set an alarm on my clock for 11:15 and realized that was pretty dumb. It's 8:15 out here. But I also took a couple of minutes to make some notes, asking myself the question, what can we learn from this? And that's what I'd like to share with your audience.
Go right ahead.
All right. The first thing that I think we need to learn is that a negative test for COVID offers you no protection, because you're only as safe as the air you're breathing after you take the test. The president got daily testing. Everyone on White House staff got tested every day or two or three. But if someone got tested 2 days ago and is in your face now, that old test isn't worth a penny of protection. You are only as safe as the air you're breathing at this moment. So that's the first lesson. The second lesson, and I think this is really critical, is that there are some protections. The only real protections we have are masks when constantly worn in the presence of others. Physical distancing. The farther the better. You've all heard you're supposed to stay 6 feet away from people. My wife and I will not allow people within 8 feet of us. Fresh air. The fresher, the better. Because circulating air dilutes the virus. If you've got fresh air blowing into the room and someone, you know, who is infected breathes into the room, it's more likely to be diluted. And the more virus in the air, the more likely you are to become infected if exposed to it. So fresh air. We have not allowed a friend of ours in our home for 3 or 4 months, but we see friends regularly in our backyard. Limited contact with others, that's a protection. I mean, we have watched in dread these large rallies and groups of people together praying that they would get away with it. Because if they don't get away with it, it's a potential catastrophe in the making. This is not a time for being in large crowds. And it's really important. It only takes one good breath of virus-contaminated air to infect you. Okay? So, number two was, there are real protections, masks, distancing, fresh air, outdoors. Use them. The third thing that I think we all need to learn is that you cannot relax your guard for even a minute. And it is time to stop thinking about high-risk and low-risk groups. There is a false sense of security that people get by thinking they're in a low-risk group. You know, we keep talking about these groups, but it's really important to remember that there is huge individual variation within these groups. We've heard the president say, oh, it's very, very, mild. In children, they don't even know they have it. Well, tell that to the parents of the thousands of children who have died. They don't want to hear that. And the fact of the matter is that in the high-risk group, and boy, I am in that group, I'm 84 years old, there are many people who can get infected and have a very, very mild experience. And we pray that's the case for the president and the first lady. Enormous variation in the way our bodies are responding to this virus. We've never seen anything like this. Just one person gets it, no symptoms. And the next person who looks exactly like that person is on a ventilator. So no matter what group you think you're in, treat yourself as someone who doesn't really know a risk level. And I think the third thing to remember when we're talking about masks and relaxing your guard is this is not just about you. This is about protecting people like me as well. So you don't think you need a mask because you're in a low-risk group? I hope you've learned now that we are all, every single one of us, at risk. And the fourth thing we can learn from this is real. We've had people trying to politicize the epidemic and make us believe it's a hoax. This is real. Our president has become infected, and we must hope and pray that he has a mild case. But this is real, and we don't know how he's going to turn out. There is, interestingly enough, no treatment at this stage of the disease, the very earliest stages, that has been demonstrated to be effective at preventing the progression of it to a more severe stage. So we just need to cross our fingers and hope. Ironically, by the way, we have gotten much, much better at treating the very severe cases. If someone does get sick and requires a ventilator, has to go into the hospital, we have learned so much about how to treat these critically ill people. And people who were critically ill and dying at the beginning of the epidemic have a better chance of survival. But let me tell you the odds that I am looking at. At the age of 84, if I get infected by someone else, my chance of getting a severe illness, as opposed to a mild form of it, are 50 times greater. I'm sorry, I misspoke. 5 times greater than a 25-year-old. I'm 5 times more likely to get a severe form. But if I do get the severe form and must be put into a hospital on a ventilator, I am 100 times more likely to die. So please, please take care of me. Wear your masks, stay distance, stay healthy, stay safe. This is real. Protect yourself.
Doctor, there's a lot to unpack here with this particular situation, because one thing I've noticed this morning, reading the newspapers, checking the internet out, a little bit of radio, a little bit of television, people are treating this, I don't want to say, but a little cavalierly. But we don't know a lot. The president has tested positive. We've known a lot of people who have. But here's what we know. I think this is what we know. We know the president is 74 years of age. Sometimes we forget that. We know that the president is somewhat overweight. Apparently that's a factor in COVID. And we know that the president, according to White House officials, not a media report, is experiencing mild symptoms, their word, mild symptoms. What we think happened was Hope Hicks, one of his advisors, was on a plane with him Wednesday night. She tested positive yesterday, and much younger, and I don't think she's overweight. And she has started to show symptoms as well. I don't think the First Lady is showing symptoms. At least that has not been reported. But the president is male. The president is 74. The president is a little overweight here. I don't know what the standard is there. He's experiencing mild symptoms, according to the White House. Knowing all that, what does that mean to you?
Well, before I answer that question, I'm going to say something to you that you have heard me say at least a half a dozen times in the few times we've spoken about this disease, and that is that the one thing we know for sure about COVID is that we do not know what we don't know, right?
Right.
We don't know what we don't know. And one time you asked me, how come the story keeps changing so often? And it's because we've never seen a virus like this before. We've seen relatives of this virus, but they've never behaved like this before. So when you ask me what's likely to happen, I don't know. And I am not going to hazard a guess. And I can tell you that the one thing we do know is that older, overweight men like the president who get this disease, some of them do extremely well and get well quickly, and some of them go into the hospital on ventilators and die. And the one thing we do know is that different people react in a fantastically different way to this same virus. Is it because some people got a much larger dose of the virus than others? We don't know. Is it because their immune systems react differently? Probably that's a contributing factor. But there is no one who can look you honestly in the eye and say they have any idea how the president's case is going to turn out. And we just simply need to pray for his health.
Well, and one of the things here that I think makes this, as you said earlier in this interview, there is no vaccine. So how we treat this is how we treat it. Is there anything at this particular case that doctors and medical professionals are developing? If you're just a 74-year-old man on the street and you contract this and you're having mild symptoms, how do you treat it with no vaccine?
As best I know, well, the vaccine isn't a treatment, it's a prevention. And as best I know, and I could be wrong, I am not an infectious disease specialist. I spend hours a day reading what the experts are saying, and we need to pay attention to what the experts are saying. And based on what I have learned thus far, there has not been a single treatment proven effective to stop the progression of this disease. So, we now must wait to see how the president's body will handle this. And some people in his age and his condition and with his dose, we do know that some people will just get well. They'll have a mild illness and get well, and we know that others will develop a catastrophic level of illness. And ironically, we don't know why in some people it will infect the lungs, and in others it appears to be affecting the heart or the kidneys. Why? Scott, we don't have the answers to these questions.
Well, this brings up another question, and maybe we don't know the answer to this, but the common wisdom has been, if you contract this or you've been around somebody with this, if it does not get to the point where you have to check into the hospital, it's quarantine for 2 weeks. It's become one of those terms like 6 feet apart and wear your mask. Quarantine for 2 weeks. Is there any, and I know this is not definite, but knowing what we know again, 74 years old, President of the United States, tested positive. He is experiencing mild symptoms, according to the White House. When are we going to know, is this going to go, it just gets better and he's okay, and the quarantine runs out in 2 weeks, or when will we start to know that it's going in a bad direction? Does this happen fairly quick? Does it take a long time? Do we know?
It's a really good question, and I hope you please. I'm not trying to evade the answer. The answer is we will know within 2 weeks, but the course is so variable in different people. So some people have a very slow, gradual evolution of their symptoms, and some people, it happens very quickly. They get sick very quickly. Part of the answer to your question about the president is, what will they tell us? Will they tell us the truth? Will they keep us fully informed? I think there's so much at stake here for the country. They will. I'm counting on his physicians and the White House staff to be honest with us, because after all, he is our president. And we have a right to know about these things. You give up a certain amount of privacy when you run for the presidency. I think we're just going to have to sit back and wait and see and hope for the best. I'm sorry, I can't answer the question any better than that.
And this is maybe you are in a very unique position here, and this is just an opinion question, not a medical question. Being a doctor who is very well versed in the media over the last half century, being a part of it, what does it say to you that the White House announced that he did test positive? The White House has announced that he is experiencing mild symptoms, and this has all happened within 12 hours. Does that say anything to you?
No. But my wife and I sat up and tried to make sense of this. I need to tell you that I am a very angry doctor at this moment, Scott. The people I follow and respect all tell me that there are at least 100,000 people dead today unnecessarily. They tell me that this epidemic could have been slowed, not stopped, but could have been dramatically slowed and affected, influenced by universal masking across the country. Not shutting the economy down, but universal masking, universal physical distancing. And they believe that it could have been dramatically affected by a national policy of prevention and public health measures, as opposed to the 50-state policy we have seen. You may recall when I first came on the air with you, I quoted a University of Washington model that said the number of people who die in the United States will be somewhere between 60,000 and 240,000, depending on how well our preventive measures are followed. And they referred specifically to masking and social distancing. And I repeated that two or three times. Well, they were wrong, because the number of people who end up dying in the United States will now end up being at least 300,000, because no one in their wildest dreams imagined that we would be so lax across this country about those two simple measures, masking and distancing. And I feel personally that the president failed us in this regard. I don't think we needed to shut the economy down. I think that we needed this man to wear a mask 24 hours a day, yes, even while sleeping, and to beg his followers to wear masks, if not to protect themselves, then to protect me. And he didn't do that. So I'm angry. Having said that, I pray for the man's health. Well, we need to bring this to a conclusion, and the only way we're going to do it is if every single one of us commits to protect every other person from now on.
And I do want to say it's very interesting that in a week where we had this awful debate, by all accounts, everybody who watched it, that today Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, people all over the world are sending best wishes and get well to the president. We need to, this is the time to set politics aside for a moment, even though we've got an election coming up, is it not, Doctor?
Thank you, Scott. Yes. And if for no other reason than to recognize we are all in this together.
Now, this question, it's an awful question, and it speaks to what I'm seeing in the media today, and I don't want to say the media is cavalier. I guess I've already said it in a way. It just seems a little cavalier this morning. Maybe it'll get different as the day goes on. But here's the question. It's an awful question. 1962 is the last time we've had a president die, thank God, in this country. John Kennedy, 1962, assassinated in Dallas. The last time I can remember that the country was completely aware of a serious threat to the president was 1981. Ronald Reagan was shot. He did survive, but we learned he came very close to dying in the midst of that gunshot wound. So it has been nearly 40 years since the country has been aware that the president, current president's life has been in serious danger. Is this that moment, knowing what we know? 74-year-old man, mild symptoms, test positive for a pandemic called COVID-19. And not to frighten people or panic them, but is it of that nature?
Well, that's a question that one could answer much more intelligently in 72 hours. Is he at risk? Could he die from this disease because of his age? And yes, of course he could. And that is such a fascinating question. I think, you know, we just have to deal with this one step at a time. But yes, that man is at risk. There is no question that he is at risk. And that doesn't mean that it's going to go one day or another. But I see this as a teachable moment for the rest of us. Let us put our anger, my anger, aside. Let us put our politics aside. And let us once and for all recognize we are all in this together. This could be a transformative moment for the nation. And I really hope for his sake, for his family's sake, and for all of our sakes, that he comes through this and we all learn something from it.
Another question I have, and again, we're not going to know exactly what this means, but just the variety, because the term is kind of amorphous, and the White House has used this term, mild symptoms. What are mild symptoms of COVID-19?
Well, let me first tell you what mild symptoms are generally. Mild symptoms are things like, you know, a little bit of fever or a little malaise, you just don't feel good, a little achiness, you lose your sense of smell or your taste. And mild symptoms are what happen before you either get well or get much sicker. Okay? So mild symptoms doesn't mean a darn thing in terms of the future. It tells you how he is today. So mild symptoms in the case of COVID might be a low fever. It might be loss of sense of smell and taste. It might be that he feels a little achy or just doesn't feel a lot well. But it doesn't tell us anything about how he's going to feel tomorrow or yesterday. I had noticed, I saw one doctor speaking, and the implication was, oh, he's just got mild symptoms, he's going to be fine. Well, let's set the record straight. He's just got mild symptoms, and we don't know if he's going to be fine or get sicker.
I just want to say this because I find this very interesting that here we are Friday, the debate was Tuesday, and I'm not making any inference here because I'm certainly not a doctor and I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm sure you have seen either clips or watched the debate, Dr. Uhlein, and when the debate started, there was somebody who's in the medical profession who said to me, within moments, it was before the fighting even started in that debate on Tuesday, somebody said to me, messaged me and said he looks like he doesn't feel well, that there's something off there. I don't know if there's anything to that or not. An interesting observation now that here we are on Friday.
Well, I watched that whole debate, every agonizing, awful moment of it with my wife, and I didn't see anything, but I'm just a gynecologist. Anytime I make a conclusion about anything, my wife says, hey, just remember, you're just a gynecologist. But I'll tell you, she came to me this morning with a fascinating question. She said, do you think he might have infected Joe Biden on that stage? That's an interesting question. They were shouting at each other.
Well,
they weren't far apart.
You know, I did hear this morning that I believe Chris Wallace is going to be tested. I would imagine Joe Biden, and we're just getting word here that Barron Trump tested negative. So that's good news. And who were on these planes and who were at these rallies and who's in the White House? You know, the president is not alone a lot.
Right.
So that's also a big question right now. And it's an interesting place to be right now. Would you say, just as a haphazard guess, that by the time Monday or Tuesday, 72 hours, we're going to have some kind of idea where this might be going?
Yes. Yeah, I do think that the next 2, 3, 4 days will shed a lot of light, both on the president's condition. He'll either get better or he'll get worse. That's what mild symptoms do. You go from mild symptoms to getting better or getting worse. And the other important thing we'll start to learn is, you know, how many other people were infected. My guess is you will now finally see these people behave in a manner that is consistent with the scientific recommendations and in a manner that finally sets an example for others. I am angry as a physician about what this administration and this president have done in terms of setting an example for other people. He has broken every single rule set up by his scientists at the CDC and the NIH. They have ignored masking recommendations. They have ignored crowd recommendations. They have ignored so many of the recommendations. And I think now they have offered us an important lesson. And what we need to learn from this, and it's a gift for us if we accept it, is that it is time to treat this as real, that the scientific recommendations are valid, and for heaven's sake, I hope every one of your listeners will take this very, very seriously and protect themselves and the others around them from the spread of this virus. We need to put a stop to this.
Let me just ask this, because you mentioned it there, and I've kind of felt the same way this morning, is that a lot of people are going on television, a lot of people are going on media right now and saying, he has it, he's got mild symptoms, he'll get better. With what we know, just in the honest nature of this, again, age, weight, complexity, because I think a lot of people have the idea that if anybody is going to get the special treatment, going to get the special drugs, going to be watched more than anybody else, it's going to be the President of the United States. Knowing that, if this, God forbid, goes the bad route and not the just mild symptoms and you start to feel better and you quarantine, if it goes to where the symptoms get more severe because of us not knowing how to treat this, is there a real possibility that the President of the United States could die from this illness?
Oh, yes, of course. But there's a real possibility that I could get it and die also. I climb mountains. I've climbed Kilimanjaro twice. There's a possibility I could die on my next hike. And yes, I am going up again. But I don't think we should be speculating about that. I think there's a very unique opportunity that we have. And when I say we, I mean all you Republicans out there and all you Democrats, we have an opportunity to change the tone in this country. And no matter where you come from, what you believe, I think it is time for every single one of us to pull for this man to get well quickly and for his wife to get well quickly. And in so doing, in coming together that way, we will have transformed the way we all feel. We will have transformed the mental health of this country. This is a really unique opportunity, and I call on the members of your audience to join me in doing that.
Just to sum this up for people who are listening right now, and I hate to put it this crassly, but on a scale of 1 to 10, with what we know now, how worried should we be?
Wow, that's a really good way of putting it. And again, I'm going to preface my comment with your listeners need to understand that I do not know what I don't know, all right? But if I were in his shoes right now, I'd put this at a 3 for myself.
A 3. Dr. Art Yulin, I can't thank you enough for joining us on short notice, and depending on what happens, I'm sure I will be calling in the next few days, and as you say, hopefully this is the teachable moment during this terrible time, 6 months into this COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye. Dr. Art Yulin, there you go. We want to keep you informed. We want to keep you educated, and we're going to get you we're doing in the noon hour, I do believe. But I think we've got one more guest to get on here in the remaining 10 minutes, but we have to break to do that, so don't you dare go anywhere. We'll be back momentarily.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Scott Spears back with you Friday morning, October the 2nd, 2020, 53 minutes past the hour, and I hope you enjoyed Dr. Art Uhlein. We're going to try to grab our guest here. Things are moving around quickly this morning because everything's being booked on the fly, and maybe we'll have him next hour, or maybe we'll continue on with what we're doing, but we're going to get back into the Family Feud here and take a break from the seriousness and go back to where we were. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and I hope it was informative and educational for you. New category here, name something that goes up and down. We've got 10 answers here. Name something that goes up and down. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 54 and a half minutes past the hour. Name something that goes up and down. We have 10 answers on the list. We did pretty well with our category earlier on. Name something people are afraid of, but name something that goes up and down. That's where we are here. Let's see. Go ahead, caller.
I have several answers, Scott. Let's start with the cerebral one, the stock market, or the economy in general.
It's certainly going up and down today. Stock market is not on the list.
Elevator, that's got to be top three.
Elevator's number four.
Okay, well, I'll call back, Scott. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, stock market not on the list, but elevator does clock in at number four on this list of 10. Things that go up and down. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Who's going to hit our number one answer here? Things that go up and down. Number four is an elevator, and that's the only one out of 10 that we have. Go ahead, caller.
A swing.
A what?
A swing.
Oh, swing. Okay, let's see here. Swing. Swing is not on the list, oddly enough. No swing on the list today. No swing. 740-383-9944. Things that go up and down. No swing on this particular list. Elevator is number four. That's the only one we've got out of 10, so we have 9 left to go here. Things that go up and down. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Things that go up and things that go down. Go ahead, caller.
The moon and sun.
The moon and the sun. The moon in the morning and the sun at night. Not on the list. The moon and the sun do not make this particular list. Or is it the sun at night and the moon in the morning? I'm not sure. I think there's a song. Something of that nature. Not the moon and not the sun. Things that go up and down. 9 answers left on the board. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, Scott, I got 2 guesses.
Go ahead.
People's weight, like when they're dieting.
Weight? Not on the list.
What?
I know.
And then blood pressure.
Blood pressure. Let's see here. Blood pressure, not on the list either.
My blood pressure just went up.
Did it? When those answers weren't there, the blood pressure went sky high.
You didn't admit, some of these are pretty valid answers.
They are valid, but not on a list of 10. Can you imagine?
Gosh darn it.
I know. Keep thinking.
Okay.
All right. Things that go up and things that go down. That's what we're looking for. Things that go up and things that go down. 740-383-9944. Nine answers left. We've only got one so far. Go ahead, caller.
How about an airplane?
An airplane. Number two on the list. Airplane is there.
Airplane is number two, and elevator is number four, and blood pressure is a great answer. That should be number one.
No, well,
especially nowadays with the world having got a little... little crazy.
I agree, but no, you got number two.
I got a really good cerebral answer, Scott. This isn't going to be on there, but this is a great answer that you and I have some attachment to, a radio dial. You go up and down the radio dial.
You do go up and down on the radio dial. Boy, I wish that was on the list today.
And the best station's the one toward the end, 107.1. Why go anywhere else?
Why would you? What do you think of the doctor's report there?
It was interesting. I mean, of course, I don't agree with the opinion part of it. The factual part was fascinating. He's so well-spoken. Great to have Dr. Ouellette on such a short notice. Very smart man.
Yep, we'll see.
We don't have to agree on things for me to respect him, and I do respect him greatly.
Well,
just glad to hear about Barron.
Yes, it's a good that that's where we are. Hey, thanks, Adam.
No problem.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Things that go up and things that go down. Airplane is number one. Elevator is number four. Things that go up and down. 58 and a half minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Things that go up and things that go down. We've only got two answers here. We've got airplane and we've got elevator, but we don't have the other eight. Are we going to get them? Things that go up and down. 59 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
How about a yo-yo?
A yo-yo is on the list at number five. You've got it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yo-yo makes the list. Things that go up and things that go down. We've got airplane at two, elevator at four, yo-yo at five. 740-383-9944. I wonder how yo-yo got its name. What an interesting name. Yo-yo. Go ahead, caller.
I was going to say yo-yo. Let's try a teeter-totter.
Teeter-totter.
Yeah.
You know what? Also known as a seesaw, it is on there. You've got it.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, teeter-totter / seesaw is also on the list at number seven. All right, go ahead, caller.
And what about the temperature?
Temperature. That's an apt one today, and it's number three on the list.
All right.
You got it. Thank you. Temperature is on the list today. All right, we've got what do we got here? We got airplane, thermometer, elevator, yo-yo, and seesaw. We've got five of the ten. Let's see what we've got coming here. We're going to take a break and come back with this at 12:15. Go ahead, caller.
What about, money-wise, like your bank account? It can go up and down.
Do you have money on the mind today?
I'm just trying to think outside the box, because, like we talked about earlier, Scott, you know how, like, towards the end, there's those, like, oddball ones that don't really match?
You're right, and I think it's a good one. Your checking account certainly does go up and down. Hopefully a lot of people's are going up today because it's Friday, it's payday.
Yeah, whoop whoop.
Not on the list, though, unfortunately. I know. Thank you. I tell you what, we're going to break. We're coming back in 15 minutes. We're going to continue on. Things that go up and down. Five more answers. Oh, that's right, Marlo.
They keep calling me Marlo sometimes. I say, no, that's Marlo time.